We're going to be following along in John chapter 9, going through 10 and 11. We're going to be flying through. We're going to be moving quite quickly. It's not going to be an extensive expository experience this morning. It's going to be an overview. It's going to be a flyby. Because I trust we know the stories. We've heard probably many sermons in these areas and that kind of thing. But we're coming upon a scene where Jesus is preparing to come into Jerusalem. He's doing some more miracles. He comes to a man that is blind from birth. He confronts the Pharisees, the Sadducees, who do not believe in the resurrection. He has good friends, close friends, where he often stopped to have a meal, maybe to lodge, and one of his best friends dies, Lazarus. All of this surrounds, is enveloped by belief. Do you believe? We talked about this. The book of John is, the theme is, do you believe? So we come to Palm Sunday, we're going to come to Good Friday, and we're going to come to Easter Sunday. Do you believe that your sins are forgiven? That death is defeated? That Jesus was real. That Jesus lived as a man, was born as a babe, and died as a man, but was without sin. He was divine. His essence was one with God. That's what the word one means, is that his essence was the exact essence of God the Father. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's a high time to share the story of Christ. His goodness, that he is the good shepherd, that he takes care of his flock, that he protects them, that nobody can take them out of his hand, that once they're in the sheepfold, they're never lost. The overriding ideas in this is that there's blind, there's deaf, and there's the dead. John 10, 37, 38 simply says this, if I'm not doing my Father's works, don't believe me. But if I am doing them and you don't believe me, believe the works. This way you will know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. So who's Jesus talking to? He's talking to the non-believers. He's talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to the Sadducees. He's talking to the average Israelite, Hebrew. He's performed all these miracles and he continues to do so all the way up to his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And the religious leaders still refuse to believe. We won't believe. So Jesus says, well, if you won't believe my word, then at least look at the works. How can you avoid what Jesus did? How can you avoid that? Today we go, well, we don't see Jesus working. We don't see as many miracles as maybe were written about in Scripture. Why is that? That question I've been asked many different times. And when I look in Scripture, it occurred to me this week as I was studying. Jesus says something very curious. He says in verse 9, beginning at verse 1. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Stop, what's the belief? That if you were born with some infirmity, blindness, deafness, paralysis, whatever it would be, it's because you were sinful. It's because you were a sinner, because it was your mom and dad did something that offended God, and so the curse comes down upon you. Deuteronomy 28 to 32. You'll find the curses and the blessings that people would inherit if they were walking with the Lord and if they were not walking with the Lord. So this comes to inform the teachings of the religious leaders. So judgment is passed. This man has been born blind. He has never seen anyone or anything from the day that he was born. Well, who sinned, Jesus? This man or his parents? Jesus' response is, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. What time is it when Jesus is working? Daytime. It's daytime. It's daytime for 3.5 years. And then Jesus is put to death. And then he's risen. And then he goes to be with his Father in heaven. And he's away from the earth. What time is that? It's nighttime. The miracles that Jesus performed were for what? The signs and wonders were for what reason? To point to his divinity. To point and draw people to his divinity. That he was of one essence, the same as the Father. And he was going to be stoned for that. Now we have Jesus' word. Now we have God's word, right? But we don't have as many miracles. Dare I say, less frequent? Infrequent? Pastor, why don't we see as many miracles today? Because it's night. It's not day. But we still have the Spirit, and the Spirit does what? The Spirit instructs, the Spirit guides, the Spirit points to Jesus. The Spirit works through the Word. We are instructed to read and believe the Word because God's Word does not return void, and God works through His Word through the Spirit. And the Spirit does what? Points to Jesus. Do I believe his word? Do I read his word? As the miracles pointed to Jesus, the Spirit uses the word to point to Jesus. Will you believe the word? If you don't read this, how can you believe in Jesus? How can you know what he does and what he doesn't do? How can you know his person? How can you know his character? If you don't read his word, if you're not being pointed to Jesus by the Spirit, then you're either blind, deaf, or dead. Hosanna in the highest, the spotless Lamb is come. Glory to God. Sin is to be forgiven and taken away. The crowd lines the street as the spotless Lamb is led through the streets to the ultimate place of sacrifice. Jesus enters Jerusalem at the same time, at the perfect time, as palm branches are waved, as cloaks are laid before him. His praises are sung, his story shared of the miracles he has performed. It's the Passover. festival, the atonement. The sins of the nation are placed on the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb is sacrificed for the sin of the nation. Atonement, covering, forgiveness, wilderness, redemption, and resurrection. It would be a Passover like no other before it or after it. Jesus enters Jerusalem having made himself known by miracles of power in word and deed. Water has been changed into wine. People have been fed. The blind see, the paralyzed walk. Those out of their minds are put right. The dead and nearly dead have risen in power and strength. Lazarus, the dead, walks beside Jesus, a living testimony of his divinity. Do you ever think about that? Who's walking with Jesus as he goes into Jerusalem? His friend Lazarus is there. Why do people gather and flock around Jesus? This is the man that's performing the miracles. This is the man who raised Lazarus from the dead. Where's Lazarus? There he is. Lazarus is a living contradiction for the religious leaders, especially the Sadducees, because the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection. And here is Lazarus. The living contradiction to what has been taught and believed. Who is this Jesus? People believe Jesus is the prophet, the promised one, the Holy One of God, the long-awaited Messiah. He will be king. He will claim his throne. The Romans will be removed, destroyed, and dejected. Our king has finally come on a horse. No, on a donkey. A foal, a beast of burden. An animal of humility, of the poor, of burden. Not war, not royalty, and not of a king. This is the Messiah. Your Messiah. Our Messiah. Jesus heals the blind man. John chapter 9. Blind man theology is this. God listens to those who worship him and obey his will. God does not listen to sinners. John 9:31. That's what's being taught. This blind man, Jesus sees this blind man, and he doesn't ask him, do you want to be healed? He knows the condition of this blind man. He's been blind from birth. And he comes up to him. His disciples ask him, who sinned? Neither. His life is the way it is for the glory of God to work in his life. And so Jesus bends down, he grabs some mud, mixes it with his saliva, puts it on his eyes, and he says what to him? Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. His eyes aren't open yet. So he has to find his way to the pool of Siloam. He has to take initiative. He has to follow Jesus' orders. Does he believe? He hasn't seen Jesus. He doesn't know it's Jesus. He just knows a voice. And he walks and he washes. And what happens? He can see. Who is it that did this to you? Who opened your eyes? Well, I think it was Jesus. This man, Jesus. No, we don't want to hear about Jesus. Who opened your eyes? Mom, Dad? How is it that your son can see? We don't know how he can see, but we just know that he can see. And yes, this is our son. Ask him. He's old enough. So they bring him one more time. Give glory to God. Don't lie. Who opened your eyes? Jesus. He's a sinner. We know it. Well, I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but I can tell you what I know is that he opened my eyes. I was blind, but now I can see. How many people are blind in the world? Or were blind at one time and can now see or want to see? Are you going to be Jesus to them? Are you going to be the one that's going to bring the good news? The glory of Christ? Are you the one that's going to believe and step forward? Help them to believe and step forward? He's a sinner. It's the Sabbath. Jesus is picking another fight. It's the Sabbath. He heals the blind man on the Sabbath, angering the religious leaders again. You can't do that. How can you see? Jesus did it. We don't want to hear that. If you say that again, we're going to kick you out of the temple. And we kick you out of the temple, that means you're out of the religious life, you're out of the community, you're out of society altogether. You'll be shamed. Your mom and dad cannot have anything to do with you. Who opened your eyes? Jesus. He's a prophet. Blind man goes, I can't believe that you guys don't believe this. That's the truly amazing thing about this situation, is that you know me. I've been blind from birth. You know my mom and dad. You know that I've begged for food, for scraps, my whole entire life, and now I can see, and you won't believe what I say. Are you wanting me to repeat it again so that you get the story right and you become disciples of his as well? No, we don't want to hear that. This is the belief, the teaching of the Jewish religious leaders. No one who is of God would do work on the Sabbath. After all, the Sabbath was established by God. Their perspective is that man is made for the Sabbath, and Jesus says the Sabbath is made for man. In order for people not to violate the Sabbath, the religious leaders put fence laws in place to protect people from violating the Sabbath. Man-made laws to protect man from violating God's will. Anyone who does work on the Sabbath is not a person of God, nor is God with them. If they were, they would not violate God's Sabbath or man's rules to protect the Sabbath of God. John 9:24. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind. They said to him, give glory to God. We know this man is a sinner. Like I said, the man answered, John 9:30-33. Here's an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Person born blind. This guy is smarter than the Sadducees and the Pharisees. He's brilliant. He's got them. You say he's a sinner. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he does listen to ones who follow and worship him and obey his will. So if this man is not from God, and he's a sinner, how am I able to see with my own two eyes right now? How is that possible? If Jesus were not from God, he should not be able to do so. But because he has, Jesus is no sinner, but he is who he claims to be. one with God, one in essence, of the same essence, therefore he's God. To be born blind was to be one of sin. The blind man is well aware of the risk he's taking. He will give glory to God. He will give glory to Jesus. He will not be quiet. He's aware of the danger of his ranking, of his status, of the judgment of the stones. What hill of difference does that make when I've been a beggar my whole life? His life is lived on begging, humiliation, and handouts. The man does not have to beg for the mercy of Jesus, though. Jesus removes the label of unwanted, unloved sinner and replaces it with a child loved, healed, and a miracle of grace. Amen? His life was to serve as a sign of God's grace, of God's mercy, of God's love, of Jesus' divinity. As long as Jesus is in the world, he is the light of the world. His miracles pointed to his person. His recorded miracles point to his person. His word points to his person. Do we believe his word? For night has come, miracles are few and far in between. Belief is the requirement called faith. The blind man's sight would become the blindness of the religious. Those who thought they knew God didn't know God at all. Do we know God? Do we believe his miracles? Do we believe the word of God? The Holy Spirit points to the word. The word points to the miracles. The miracles point to Jesus. Are we blind, dead, or dumb? If Jesus were not from God the Father, he wouldn't be able to do any of this. Jesus asks a simple question of the man once born blind. Do you believe in the Son of Man? This is after he's been condemned. This is after he's been thrown out. This is after he gives the Pharisees and Sadducees a religious education that they'll never forget. And remember, the blind man has not yet seen Jesus. He knows his voice from just a simple command, go and wash. And he goes. Jesus finds him after he's been condemned, after he's been kicked out. Jesus goes and looks for him. Says what? Do you believe? Do you believe in the Son of Man? Because he hasn't seen him, he recognizes his voice, but he says, who is the Son of Man? You're looking at him. You heard him. And he bows down and he believes. And he worships him. Even though you may have been thrown out, restricted, cut off from society, who do you say I am? Are you willing to confess your belief in me? I believe Jesus. Are we willing to be cut off, cast off, restricted, because we confess Jesus as Lord and follow him? Religion makes no difference unless it is a living relationship with Christ. Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment in order that those who do not see will see, and those who do not see will become blind. The blind sinner receives the truth and sees. The self-righteous person rejects the truth and becomes even more spiritually blind. Are we blind, deaf, or dead? If we claim to know Christ, but yet we do not follow him, we are blinder than the blind man. We are deafer than the religious. John chapter 10, Jesus raises the dead. If Jesus was a sinner, therefore not God, nor heard by God, how could he raise the dead? Pardon me, John chapter 11. So they remove the stone Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd standing here, I said this so that they may believe you sent me. Jesus, when he's first requested to go and he's told that Lazarus is sick, he does what? Says, well, I got other things to do. Let's go back to Jerusalem. But are you, like, Lazarus is sick. He's going to die. And Lazarus dies. And Jesus allows this to happen knowingly. He actually says, it's a good thing that we were not around Lazarus when he would die, so that glory may be given to God. So that a miracle can be worked in his life and do what? Point to Jesus. Point to God. He gets on the scene and he speaks out loud. He says, Father, thank you for hearing me. Father, thank you for hearing me. Who's in the crowd? The Sadducees and the Pharisees. Jesus is going to continue to make his point. You guys say that a sinner cannot be heard. You call me a sinner. So I'm going to prove my point. I'm going to talk to God, and you're going to hear exactly what I say. And I thank you that you hear me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd standing here, I said this so that they may believe you sent me. Pharisees, Sadducees, warming up the throwing arms. Right? They're like, we've had enough of this. After he said this, Jesus shouted with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out bound hand and foot with linen straps and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. You feel the tension? You feel the anger? But most of all, how can you miss Jesus' point? You either believe or you don't. Against such impossible odds, he meets every core requirement of a prophet of God. And the biggest one is raise someone from the dead. And this isn't just the first time. This is actually, he does it three times. Lazarus is a picture of the lost sinner given life and salvation. He was dead, right? We're spiritually dead. He was decaying. He decayed. We're all in a state of decay. We actually will all, at one point in our time, die. He was raised and given life because Jesus loved him and because it brought glory to God. John 5:25. I assure you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Lazarus was loosed. We are not to be bound by grave clothes or our old life, but should walk in the freedom of new life, Colossians 3:1-17. Are you walking in new life, or are we walking in our old grave clothes still? You know the thing about grave clothes? They're comfortable. A new life is not always comfortable. But a new life with Christ is very comfortable. Very challenging. Because he draws us, because he challenges us, because he wants to mold us, because he wants to take the dross out of our life and make sure that it's pure. He witnessed to others. Lazarus didn't hide himself. He showed himself. He witnessed to the person of Christ by the power of a raised life. Are you witnessing to the person of Christ by the power of your raised life? Our right raised life. Did the people just come to see Jesus on that Palm Sunday? Or also the raised person of Lazarus walking with Christ? Therefore, Romans 6:4, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in a new way of life. Lazarus fellowshiped with Christ. 6 days before the Passover, Lazarus is feasting with Christ at the banqueting table. That is the destination of every believer and follower of Christ, to sit at the banqueting table at the end of time. Luke 14:15-24. Ephesians 2:5-6 says, made us alive with the Messiah, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace. Together with Christ Jesus, he also raised us up and seated us in the heavens. That great banqueting table. The fellowship of Christ consists of three practices that we see in Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, this family. What do we see? We see worship and listening with Mary. We see work and service with Martha. And we see a walk and testimony with Lazarus. How are we modeling these things in our Christian life? Those three components. And finally, Lazarus was persecuted. Lazarus was hated by the Jews, and they wanted to kill him because he convinced others of the deity of Christ. And he did that by doing what? Simply standing above ground. Right? The Sadducees were beside themselves because they didn't believe in the resurrection, and Lazarus was living proof that they were wrong. Reverend Warren Wiersbe says this, Satan always fights a living miracle that testifies on God's behalf. If we are not suffering some kind of persecution for being a witness of Christ or for Christ, are we being a witness for Christ? If we're not, something's wrong. Sheep are not deaf to the shepherd's voice, John chapter 10. John 10:25-27. I did tell you, and you don't believe, Jesus answered them. The works that I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you don't believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Jesus is talking about a shepherd. Jesus is talking about what a shepherd does with his sheep. That sheep wander off. That the sheep are brought into a sheepfold in the Middle East and during those ancient practices, and it was a stone structure that had four sides, but in the one side there was an opening for a doorway. And the shepherd would lay in the doorway. He would bring his sheep in, he would lay in the doorway. He was the door. He was the door between protecting the sheep and the sheep from wandering off. And Jesus says, what? I am the door. I am the world, I am the light, and I am the door. It is nearly impossible to misunderstand what Jesus is saying. He's hitting the people on all cultural levels so that they may understand, this is who I am. I am claiming it freely and succinctly. You either have to be blind, dead, or deaf not to understand. The religious and those who are not of Jesus' flock do not hear his voice. They do not respond to his voice. No belief, no response. Thieves, strangers, and animals may try to steal the sheep, but the sheep would not easily follow, especially someone or something that they did not recognize. So they learned the shepherd's voice, and they learned to respond to the shepherd's voice. True sheep or the true shepherd respond to and follow Jesus. Jesus is scathingly rebuking these religious leaders who were not true shepherds. Were they protecting the fold, or were they looking out for themselves? Were they abusing the sheep or feeding the sheep? When they spoke, did the sheep respond to their voice with joy and enthusiasm, or with dread, fear, and trembling? When danger came, did they protect the flock? Would they give their own lives for theirs? We can see by their actions with the blind man and Lazarus that these were false shepherds. When Jesus spoke and did, the sheep were responding and following. Do we know Jesus' voice? Do we know his word? Satan steals sheep. He kills sheep. He leads sheep astray by impersonation, modulation, and impression. Why? Because he knows sheep are prone to wander from the sheepfold. So the true shepherd is the door to the sheepfold to protect and to guide. That's why we need to be together in community. That's why you need a brother and sister to pray for, to commune with. That's why we should gather as the church to listen to the word. Jesus, as the good shepherd, gives his life on the cross. He cares for the sheep, and he will come again for his sheep. Is Jesus our shepherd? Do we believe that he is the very essence of God the Father? Do we believe his word that testifies to his work or miracles? It is no longer day, but it's night. Miracles are not common, but they're infrequent. To walk with the great shepherd is to walk by faith in Jesus, and what the writer of Hebrews reminds us about. Hebrews 11, 1-2, now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen, for our ancestors won God's approval by it. Will we do the same? Jesus entered Jerusalem what we call Palm Sunday, triumphant because he had successfully revealed by his power of word and deed his divinity. People know now followed the true shepherd. Do we? Will this Passover be a celebration of his divinity, his love, his grace, mercy, and sacrifice? Or a following of Satan's false voice, false teachers, a man's empty traditions and stories? Who is the shepherd of our lives? If you cannot believe in Jesus, will you look at his works? How is it possible that a liar, a sinner, a man could do such things as he did? We are either blind, deaf, and or dead. Or will we come alive in Christ Jesus? The choice is ours alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.